ESPN Kansas City presents Golf Underground, powered by Mariner Wealth Advisors, helping you navigate your financial future.
Welcome to Golf Underground ESPN Radio, where we are back in the studio. Wardo and Sully after a fresh Chiefs victory. The snow is in the air. The holiday season is amongst us. I feel very good right now.
Do you? I like it. What time did you get out there yesterday?
Well, we got out there. Me and my boy Jake got out there at about 10, 8. Well, I'd say 9:30. And again, we saw our boy Zach Peterson, a wonderful friend of the program. We popped by. It was a Hooray Grills. These were the coolest grills I've ever seen in my life.
I hear that they're itching to be a sponsor on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what. They made a good impression. It's a big old thing. And you just put regular firewood in this thing, and it's got a big rotisserie. They had a big pig out there other than me, and it was fantastic.
I know. I've been pitching it to George. I'm trying to get George to be a spokesperson for the Hooray Grill Company. So
oh, really?
Let's get them on the show.
You mean he goes from Preparation H to the Hooray Grill?
Pretty much.
He's got range.
You know, it'd be fun to do a live podcast with those guys and let them come out and grill for all the participants.
Ooh, maybe we do one of our live events.
Yeah.
Outdoors.
I've been talking with our good pal Peterson about it. So
oh, you're good.
Let's make it happen.
Hey, so what'd you think of the President's Cup? I couldn't not watch it every night. It was so good having golf at night. I think they got to put lights on the golf courses now so we have something to watch.
It's so good at night. I fell asleep on Friday night, so that wasn't good. But I thought it was across the board. You know, they had their backs against the wall. They were about to go down 9-1 in terms of points. And then a couple key matches turned. You know, they got a half and Woodlands match and some other matches that they ended up winning. So it just unbelievable how they were had their backs against the wall and ended up, you just knew that they would have a, what were they down, two going into the singles?
Yeah.
Or three, two. You knew they had a really good chance going into the singles. And you know, it's talk about momentum, or talk about a no different than a football or baseball game, and that right there was just momentum that the tides turned.
I couldn't believe the putts that were being dropped. That really is the difference. As you sit there and watch, right, I mean, there's great ball strikers, but the difference was anything 12 feet and in, everyone was dropping it.
Yep.
I mean, I couldn't believe the international team. You knew when they got over a 20-foot putt, it was going in.
Yeah, you know, I just think those greens look so pure, and just those guys, their putting strokes are so good that, you know, they all just basically were hitting it. They could make it at a thimble. That's how good the putting was.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, Tiger did a great job leading it. And, you know, it's, for me, it was so cool to see his enthusiasm, how fired up he was. Because when he wins a tournament, he's still sort of cool. And he was like a little kid, right? He was all pumped up. And so to see that side of him, I thought it was awesome.
Well, I saw a video on, I don't know, Instagram or something of them, the team singing happy birthday to Ricky, driving to the golf course on Saturday or whatever. And then you got, you know, and they're all having fun with it. And then you see the video from last night of them singing We Are the Champions. And, you know, they've all got drinks in their hands and Tiger's having fun with it. And they got the wives in there. So pretty cool stuff. So
I was getting
some texts from Scavi, our good pal.
Oh,
he's for Ricky. And he's like, I got your boy today, because they got Tiger and Gary and Ricky played together in those Friday matches. So
right. Yeah, no, I was I saw him yesterday and I was thinking of you. That had to be a blast for him. Did he mention anything?
I haven't. Well, we've texted back and forth on this group text we have, but I haven't texted him too much. But he's I think he was pretty happy to not only be there, because Ricky wasn't on the team,
right?
And then now they have this comeback. So
right,
pretty cool.
What was your take on Woodland's performance?
I thought he played well. I just think he got beat on the singles matches. And then other than that, you know, I think he was probably pretty happy with his play. He just ran into a buzzsaw the last match against Ben On or whatever. And so anyhow, I think he's happy. I mean, if you would have told him at the beginning of the year that you're going to be our nation's U.S. Open champion, our national champion, and you're going to be on a President's Cup, winning President's Cup team, I think you would have taken it.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? Unbelievable.
I think most people would take that.
Yeah. Well, again, I thought it was just an awesome event, and I just loved watching golf at night.
What's cool is I was thinking about the season. Literally in 2.5 weeks, they're going to be going again at Kapalua.
God, you believe that?
So
does that mean we have to kind of get really back at it?
No, I like this. Like guests today, that, you know, we got Jeff here in studio. This is fun. This is what I want
to
do.
Like the off season. Now we've worked. I mean, we have to talk about business and work. Like we have to be productive now instead of just being like golf mopes.
I mean, I feel like it's definitely been the off season in terms of your preparation.
I did just roll in with 13 seconds left. Right? Where's my headphones? Okay. What a mess. What
just
a mess.
So prepared. Just like all the things you preach, right?
Mentally, it's a snow day for me.
It definitely
the
is.
The kids are home from school. All right. So, hey, anyways, we got a great program today. We are honored to have in the studio one of Wardo's golf proteges. He keeps him physically fit. He's trying. Mr. Jeff Jones, the CEO of H&R Block.
CEO of H&R Block. That's
CEO,
right.
CEO, yeah. That's a pretty big title.
I like to just be Jeff Jones first.
You want to be Jeff Jones
just
first?
Just Jeff Jones, yeah.
Well, so tell us how you you met Kevin Ward, because you're in his Swing Fit program, right?
Well, he's in the boutique instructional program.
The Elite Performance Group.
Whoa!
We're like the Navy SEALs of the program. What? That's what I like to say.
Does he use the word boutique?
He just did. I'd never heard that.
What?
I may not have signed up if he called it boutique.
That's what I mean. I mean, that changes everything. So you've been in this program a while, right? How long?
Just started in January.
Okay.
So coming up on 1 year. I've just been in town a couple years, and I actually forget how we met for the first time. I'm sure it was at the golf course, but
I think someone put us in touch to play together.
That's right. That's right.
Jim Polsinelli put us in touch to play together.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It was just a bromance from the word go.
That's awesome. Now you've traveled the globe a little bit, right? So give us a little background of some of the companies who you've worked for, because certainly being CEO of H&R Block is a big responsibility, but you don't just wake up as CEO of H&R Block. You kind of work your way to that. So take us back a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm kid from West Virginia. That's where I grew up. No one in my family really ever had a big job. They were mom and pop entrepreneurs. I was a pretty decent baseball player, but I was a horrible student. And my escape from West Virginia was a place called Fork Union Military Academy.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. I was a FUMA kid, a PG baseball player, and really learned there that I wasn't good enough to play baseball, so I better get my act together and start studying. I was a catcher, and I tell everybody I had a decent arm. I was a great batter. And I was slow as a turtle. And so you can't make it at the next level if that's your profile. University of Dayton, Dayton Flyer for undergrad. And then got my dream job in Chicago right out of undergrad, working in the advertising business for a company called Leo Burnett.
Uh-huh.
That's where I started my career. And then over the years, I have been lucky. I've worked for some great companies, Coca-Cola Company, Target, Uber. I also, what most people don't know about my career is I've been part of starting and selling a couple companies as well. So I think, the mix of mainly big stuff, but, a few small companies too.
Yeah, yeah. So funny thing is our boy Dante went to Fork Union Military Academy.
Did he really?
When did you graduate? Or when were you there?
I was a PG there in 86, so I'm 52 years old.
Do you know a guy named Peter Dante? He played lacrosse at Fork Union. Was an absolute mess.
I don't remember the name.
Oh
no,
he was there the same year.
Was it about
the
same time?
He was 86.
Wow. Well, and he was there as a high school kid.
Yeah, he was a PG. Yeah, he played lacrosse for Fork Union.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I don't recognize
that's
that.
That's funny. Well,
so Pete Dante is an actor. He was Adam Sandler's sidekick in all of those movies, and so he was the quarterback and the water boy. We had him on the show. He was an absolute riot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's the anti-Jeff Jones. Right? If we think responsible.
Yeah.
He's the opposite.
Disciplined.
Yeah.
Fork Union failed him.
So it's funny, right? Because he went there. As you said, I wasn't a great student.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of folks went to Fork Union to sort of
clean
you up.
That's
get your mind right. Well, what did you learn? What do you think? Because obviously that helped establish a base.
No doubt.
That you used. What did you learn there?
I mean, I really say that single year there changed my life. And it's discipline. I always tell people it was not the military, right? You just never want to overestimate true military service.
Right.
But you show up there, they shave your head, put you in a uniform, you live in barracks, you carry a fake rifle around, and as a PG, you're bossed around by, 15-year-old high school kids.
Right.
And, you know, they tell you day one, just like the military, they take away your God-given rights and give them back to you one by one as privileges.
Wow.
And so, you know, this is pre-internet, pre-cell phone. You had to write letters home. You know, that's how it worked. Mm-hmm. And so it just gives you discipline. Ultimately, what it gave me, though, was confidence.
Huh. Why?
Because, you know, coming out of high school, you know, it's almost embarrassing to admit, I never took a standardized test in high school to go to college. My parents didn't go to college, so they didn't know how to coach me in that mm-hmm. way. And Fork Union was really my chance to grow up and learn and get ready for school. I went on to college and, you know, made the honors roll and did great academically.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So that's interesting, right? I mean, two words here, discipline and confidence.
That's right.
And no doubt through your corporate leadership roles, those are probably two things that you've leaned on, right? So something you brought up here, if you had 15-year-olds who, well, not that they took your rights away and gave them back, the organization, yeah. the school did it. But what leadership lessons did you learn in that, right? Can an H&R Block or an Uber or a Target, can a leader do that? Are there some... How do you create that culture where it's still yeah. disciplined, but it's not the military, right?
No, it's not. In fact, you know, you think about in corporate culture, at least the way I like to lead, I mean, some people could do it differently, but it's more about inspiration and clarity, not about a box and being told what to do. I mean, that's very much what happens in the military context mm-hmm. for me. But I think, you know, ultimately you're leading a lot of people, a diverse group of people, just like that kid was there. You know, and what I try to do now is give people a vision of the future, give them confidence in themselves that they have the potential to do what they want to do. It's teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're thinking about assembling the right team around you, diverse people, as I say, clear roles, common goals, you know, all focused on the same thing. And, you know, I think what I learned from Fork Union was, you know, time management, I'm really, really structured with... Ooh. How I spend my time personally, how we spend it as a team. You know, I care a lot about other people. And you think about it at Fork Union, you know, it's body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole person. And so all those things, you know, I recently had a chance to go back and give the commencement speech.
Oh, wow.
This spring.
Cool.
It was amazing. And to go back and see those young men after all these years I've been gone, it was a really special experience.
What was your message in that commencement speech?
You know, I told them that in the end of the day, there are two things that really matter, your reputation and your relationships.
Nice.
And I talked a lot about, you know, you're given this gift at Fork Union, whether you... frankly, were sent there or chose to go.
Many were sent,
because
too, right?
It is definitely a combination of both.
Yeah.
But don't miss the chance to recognize that as you leave here as a young man, you now have a different mission. And for the rest of your life, you know, you've been given this core nucleus to think about the relationships you've built here and your reputation as a person coming from this school. And at the end of the day, those two things really matter for the rest of your life.
Boy, I love that. Right. And certainly the relationships. It's your greatest asset.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Of all the things you own, the greatest asset are your relationships with your friends and your family.
Yeah. And as a young person today, there's a lot of opportunities to blow it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was growing up, you made mistakes and no one knew.
Right.
And now everyone knows. And unfortunately, and I think this is a shame, but that simple mistake that I would have made as a teenager that no one knew about today can cost you everything.
Right.
And that's a different world.
Our guest host George Brett talks a lot about that. If he was playing during the era of social media,
he'd be
in a bad way.
Right.
Oh my God. It's
can
right
you
on.
Imagine?
No.
He'd be
I can't.
Posting like during the game.
Yeah.
Because he loves his technology now, doesn't he?
He loves his technology.
All right. So we're gonna take a commercial break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about these core principles, right? Because you mentioned Fork Union, you mentioned you played sports. So between the education and the discipline of just the school itself, sports provided a gift for you right?
Absolutely.
And certainly now, no doubt that load of the hips is helping you be a four handicap where you can actually win $5 Nassau's off of this guy to my left.
He wins a lot of money
like
off
he wants
me.
Him to be.
All right, hey, come on back. We're on the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio.
This is Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
Hey, Brian Sullivan of Golf Underground with my favorite orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Kevin Witte from Sano Orthopedics. Hey, Doc, golf season's over. My back is killing me. I know it's football season, so you get a lot of kids coming in, blown ACLs, all sorts of body parts with problems. And then, of course, those baseball players. I know you fix a lot of elbows. Why is Sano Orthopedics the absolute best sports medicine orthopedic group in Kansas City?
Well, if you want to see the guys in town, I've had the best orthopedic fellowship training in sports medicine, including training with Dr. James Anders and Dr. Larry Lemack. Come see us. We individualize patients' plans to get them back to that activity and that sport that they love, and we actually care and listen to our patients and follow up with them, make sure that they're getting the results they need.
Okay, and so the three things that separate you, number one, best training. Number two, you specialize in getting people on that field. Number three, you're actually listen. Where can I learn more? Because you got me all in and I don't really want to get fixed, but it's time.
At sanoorthopedics.com, 816-525-2840.
Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified, or organic farms, prime-going regions, artisan producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, it's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked, honest, clean food.
Do you have retirement dreams of perfecting your swing and spending time on the green? Or maybe you have a bucket list of courses you'd like to play. Whatever your retirement goals, Mariner Wealth Advisors is your advocate. We create wealth plans to help you reach those goals. Whether that involves golfing, traveling the world, or settling down in another state, it's your plan, personalized for your goals. Contact Mariner Wealth Advisors today to start navigating your financial future. Visit marinerwealthadvisors.com to find a location near you.
Mariner Wealth Advisors, otherwise known as MWA, is an SEC registered investment advisor with its principal place of business in the state of Kansas. Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. For additional information about MWA, including fees and services, please contact MWA or refer to the disclosures on our website. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money. This advertisement should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities.
Hi, this is Brian Sullivan, co-host of Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City. Hey, when I'm not bringing my fantastic double-digit handicap to the course, my company, Precise Selling, works with companies to create sales champions. Hey, the best golfers get to the top by having a swing process and a game plan from the time they step on the first tee to the time they finish their putt on 18. Now, at Precise Selling, we teach salespeople how to prepare for each sales call. We give them a process to steal customers from their biggest competitor, sell more to current customers, and negotiate like a pro. So come see me at preciseselling.com to learn how we can help turn your team into a team of top sales performers.
Welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. A little frog in the throat there, Wardo.
Probably from the game yesterday.
That was from all the screaming. Actually, it was very cold, so I didn't really yell or clap much.
Did you have a couple adult beverages?
My right hand was very cold from holding a cold beer in the cold.
Did you not wear gloves?
I had gloves and a hand warmer, but it didn't matter.
I like it.
So, yeah, but three or four 25-ounce Miller Lights I was warm as can be.
Did you get a Sheridan's Unforked, eating good, feeling good, hot chocolate?
No, because I had chili and an amazing pork sandwich from the Hooray Grill Extravaganza Company. So I was totally, totally full. Hey, welcome back. We are with Jeff Jones. He is the CEO of H&R Block, a great company here in Kansas City, and certainly globally. The brand name H&R Block is a big one.
Absolutely. Right?
And I don't normally like to think of H&R Block as it reminds me of tax season. And I'm not.
We'd be happy to help you.
I know you would.
Sully's a do-it-yourselfer. So when it comes to fiction washing,
we got an option for you too.
I know you. Listen, I'm the only guy who can butcher even an online tax deal. Back in my I used to do the TurboTax back in the day.
What?
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That's before I knew you.
Now it's a new day.
No, it's it. It's done. Why? Because you know what's important to me? Reputation and relationships.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
Now that
and
we're
now
friends,
we're forming one. Yeah, here we go.
Done. All right. Well, listen, so before the break, we talked a little bit about Fork Union and you're coming up and you played baseball, you played sports, and now golf is a passion of yours.
It is.
You enjoy doing it.
Big time.
But you only started in 2007 and you're a 4 handicap?
I did.
This makes me sick.
You know, it had to
be discipline.
God, how do you do this?
Yeah, maybe some discipline. You know, there's probably a little hand-eye from being a good batter. But I moved to North Carolina, Durham, North Carolina, bought my first set of sticks, and just fell in love with the game. And I think for me, you know, I always say I have a really simple life. It's work, family, and golf, and that's really all it is. But real quick story, I was in front of my daughters recently, and I made the comment, I have a really simple life, work, golf, family. And my oldest daughter said, in that order. She picked up on work, golf,
ooh,
family.
Ooh.
Wasn't a good moment.
How old is she?
She's 18.
Oh. And how'd you get out of that
The
one?
Truth hurts. Uh-huh. I said, yeah, sometimes you're right. I didn't try to get out of it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry, I'm going to switch that?
Or no.
No. How do you balance that, right? Is that how you want it? And I'm not judging you. No. I'm just curious.
You know, yeah, I mean, over the years, it's been a different mix. Yeah. It really is a pretty simple life. Those are the three main things for me. But they've gotten out of order from time to time.
Right.
There's no doubt. And when you recognize that, you got to recommit to family because it obviously matters more than golf.
Right.
But there are times when that's been out of order.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's one. Great job admitting it, because I think we all
have that,
trying to find that balance. To get into a role where you are now and the roles that you had previous in these big brands, I'm assuming work had to take priority for a lot of those years. Had to.
It did. You know, I've been married to my wife for 25 years.
Yeah.
We dated for 6 years before we got married.
Will you tell Sarah that you dated for 6 years? Can you buy me a little bit long more time?
That's Wardo's girlfriend. Listener.
Yeah. Stall tactic. We made a choice pretty early in our careers together that mine would be our priority as a couple. And there's no doubt without her, I couldn't have done anything I've done. Absolutely no doubt.
Yeah.
That's what Woodland says.
Is that right? Same thing?
That's what Woodland says about Gabby.
Yeah.
What's he say?
This one sounds a little more sincere, but.
I mean, there's so many sacrifices in anything you try to do at an elite level.
Yep.
Yeah. And so you need people around you who can make it possible. And Margaret, my wife, absolutely enables me to do what I love to do when it comes to work.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the life at Target and what that was like.
I mean, Target, I went to Target from a company in North Carolina where I was an owner of a small business. And so I went from, you know, having partners in a mid-sized company to now being at the top of a $70 billion company.
Were you the CEO at Target?
No, I was the CMO. So one of three people that, you know, really ran that company.
Mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal. I mean, it's an incredible company, great brand. I was there in a pretty tough era for the company, a lot of controversy. I was there when Target had its big data breach.
Yeah, remember that.
I was responsible for helping the company get out of the data breach, rebuild its reputation from that. But as a brand, you know, you meet people all over the world, and every single person says, oh, I love Target.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just one of those brands that, mm-hmm.
Believe
it
or not, I was at Target yesterday during the snow.
Yeah.
Picking up some odds and ends.
Yeah.
Did you put a job application in for a winter job?
Yeah, I'm looking for another job.
It's right. You don't have enough. You've got 15 things going on as it is.
It's very boutique of you.
It is a nice little boutique. I would never apply at Walmart, but I will at Target.
Yeah, and that's what makes it great, right? It's similar companies, but it's a great place. I really had an awesome time there.
Okay, so fast forward. Then you go to work for Uber, which is Uber. We can all say that Uber has basically changed our lives. No mostly doubt. For the good,
yep.
And ease, but talk a little bit about what that was like.
Yeah, so, you know, I wasn't looking for a job when I went to Uber. I had an opportunity to get introduced to the founder of Uber at a TED conference, and that turned into a relationship building with each other, and over the course of about 6 or 7 months, we'd see each other pretty regularly, and one night he said, "I want you to come run the company."
Wow.
And I wasn't looking for a job. And so long story short, I ended up joining the company. And, you know, it's very well documented the era that Uber's coming out of. And I was there at that era where a lot of things went wrong. And ultimately, it was back to the reputation and mm-hmm. values and all those things we talked about earlier. And I got to the point where I realized everything about what was happening at the company was not consistent with who I was as a leader.
Hmm.
And I was the president of the company, and I did not believe I could change what those things were. And so I took a very public ethical stand. I left the company, and, you know, one of the hardest decisions I've ever made, without a doubt.
Sure.
And I tried to do it in a way that did not hurt the company further. Ultimately, they're on a very different path now. They have a new CEO. Things are pointed in the right direction, but it was a crazy time. I mentioned a word earlier. There's a book out now called Super Pumped. It's written by an author, a journalist from the New York Times. And it really covers the whole trials and tribulations of Uber. That was what was weird for me, was when this book gets released, I'm actually out in Boulder, Colorado, and my phone starts blowing up. I'm getting all these texts. I didn't know what's happening. And it turns out there was a chapter in the book that had been released to Vanity Fair. And the chapter is about me, basically.
Really?
In a situation. So 2 years later, over 2 years later, it's still a story that gets told and people ask me about it. But, you know, thank goodness, lots of things at that company are pointed in the right direction again.
Yeah. So what didn't feel right?
You know, I think what's been written a lot about, and I would agree with this, was a mindset of grow at all cost. And, you know, yeah. when you're growing at all cost, it means you're cutting corners yeah. and, you know, you don't take things as seriously as you should. And I recognize that. And, you know, a lot's been written about this company. And people ask, could Uber have been Uber if that didn't happen?
Hmm. Interesting question.
You know, just an incredible intensity to growth globally.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, I don't think it could have gotten to where it got without Travis as a genius founder and CEO to push every boundary possible to get the company where it was. But, you know, all companies go through chapters, and eventually, as they say in Silicon Valley, you have to grow up and mature. Mm-hmm. You can't just grow at all costs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Awesome. Talk a little bit about, before we get into H&R, but talk a little bit about the difference in the values from working in the small to mid-market size companies and now these huge Fortune companies.
And yeah.
What do you like or dislike about one or the other, or what are your takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are values, and there are also stereotypes, you know. And what I've learned is I just love hard problems. And so whether it's in a big company or small company, that's what attracts me, is the chance to help solve complicated things. You know, stereotypically, small companies move faster, you know, more autonomy, people have more freedom to do what they want to do. Stereotypically, larger companies, more bureaucratic, more layers, more process. I think one of the things I try to bring to a big company is an entrepreneurial mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so can you help companies go faster? One of my expressions is bigger, bolder, faster. That's what we do at Block, is transform a company by taking more risk, be willing to fail, going faster, placing bets. You know, so I think you can do both. You can bring that mm-hmm. mindset of change even when it's a very large company.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that, right? Because when you have an H&R Block, what an old, it's like an IBM brand, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's your classic brand. But yeah, so when I'm not shaking up the radio waves with this Kevin Ward guy over here, so I work with
yes.
brands, right? And so it's not always easy to change the mindset, to create an entrepreneurial mindset. Finding that balance between let's try to reinvent ourselves a little
right.
bit without messing with the core brand, right?
Yeah.
And that's a tough gig, right?
It's very tough.
So, all right, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what's going on at H&R Block, because it's fun. I mean, the cool thing is to go from Target to Uber. These are new. It's like playing a new game, a new golf course, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And so I think there's so many neat lessons that we can learn from you, because when guys like Kevin and I aren't hacking up on the golf course, we actually have to work. So we're counting on you to help make us smarter. Right.
Big responsibility.
Gosh.
I'm learning a lot.
I mean, yes, two C students right here. Right? So teach us how a C student.
Three.
Right.
Academic All-American over here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. All right, come on back. You're on the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio.
You're listening to Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM. Cowell Insurance Services is your leading program administrator for workers' compensation. They're dedicated to meeting the unique challenges of the insurance industry and assisting employers in reducing their costs. CIS has provided insurance claim and loss control services to various industries, including trucking, construction, retail convenience stores, and healthcare, as well as public entities for over 30 years. They work with both retail agents and industry clients, or a combination of the two. If you're tired of fighting the rising costs of premiums and claims, give Cowell Insurance Services a call. Their dedicated staff is ready to find you the best insurance option at the most competitive price. They can help to define or enhance your safety program in order to move you in the right direction in reducing your claim and premium costs. Contact Cowell Insurance Services today, 816-214-4070.
Hey, Wardo, I'm so sick of my handicap rising, and every year I feel like I'm losing yardage. Do you have a solution for me?
Of course I do. SwingFit is a goal-focused platform that is fitness-based, centered around getting your golf game better. SwingFit will help you become more biomechanically sound in the gym and on the golf course. From the golf perspective, what you're going to see is a series of movement patterns and drills in order to get you better and to help you achieve your goals. You will be introduced to some exercise centered around increasing golf strength and club head speed.
The team at SwingFit is TPI certified, which is the gold standard for those tour players you watch on Sundays. If you want to take the next steps to hitting the ball like them, call 913-269-1300 for more information, or go to thegolfstable.com.
What do you think about your insurance? Chances are it's when you're paying your bill or filing a claim. At Briar Payne Mead, we always think about your insurance. It's what we do. Buying a car, having a baby, building a home, starting a business. Then it's time to call BPM at 913-6810-099 or visit us on the web at bpminsurance.com. Great service and extremely competitive rates from the top-rated companies. Briar Payne Mead, 913-6810-099. That's 913-6810-099.
Hey, what's up, Golf Underground Nation? This is Brian Sullivan, co-host of the Golf Underground with the Greenside Cigar Company, here to tell you about the hot new cigars that are about taking over the golf industry. And yeah, I'm talking about the patented Birdie Stogies you guys have been seeing for sale all over the local golf courses. These cigars come highly rated and are the ultra-premium alternative to that dried-up old stick you've been using to celebrate your made birdie putts. Designed to be carried in every golf bag and saved as a reward for celebratory achievement, our cigars are bringing golfers added relaxation, fun, and perhaps maybe even a little luck. From mild to medium, smooth to sweet, we have a cigar suitable for every taste palate and golfers at all skill levels. So no matter your celebratory occasion, enjoying a victory stogie at the clubhouse after a low round, immediately after a made birdie putt, or hey, even to help you relax and simply celebrate being out in the golf course, make sure you never approach the first tee again without one of our beautiful cigars in your golf bag. So learn more and order online at greensidecigars.com, or just Google the Birdie Stogie, because after all, there can only be one.
Is this Pet Shop
Whoa.
Boys?
Whoa, I don't know. Hang on. Yeah. Here we go. Turn up. Pet Shop Boys. Jeff Jones, you grew up in the 80s.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a class 86 guy like me.
Yeah.
Which means you're an old guy like me.
Yeah.
Right? If one of your buddies caught you listening to the Pet Shop Boys on your Sony Walkman, what would they think?
They would think, why aren't you listening to Duran Duran?
Oh, that's a good
solid
point.
Yeah.
So you can get away with Duran Duran, just not the Pet Shop Boys?
Probably.
Nathan, is this Pet Shop Boys?
Yeah.
Huh?
Or the Cure, Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Those were good ones.
The Pretty in Pink soundtrack.
Great.
Did you have that?
Of course I did.
Psychedelic Furs?
Yeah, no doubt.
Ah!
I'm going.
Yeah. We're
going to
become longtime buddies.
I'm playing Depeche Mode tonight at Swing Fit. I'm going to play a little.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do you have to wear spandex in that class?
Tonight you do, yeah.
Really?
Mondays.
Oh, I'm coming by.
Mondays.
With my camera.
It's going to be good.
We're having a great program. Welcome back to Golf Underground ESPN Radio with Jeff Jones. He's the CEO of H&R Block. And he's one of Wardo's students at the in Swing Fit,
right? in the boutique program.
In the boutique program, right? Very classy. Which is boutique. It's why you play Depeche Mode as your pump up music.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. You could do it if it was like too manly.
No.
You know.
Keep it.
So before the break, we were talking a little bit about your journey. You know, through Target and Uber, and now you're at H&R Block. We talked a little bit about. Reputation and relationships being the sort of the two words that kind of pop out. And of course, a few things: bigger, bolder, faster, and how it's important to add a little entrepreneurial edge to what you're doing at H&R Block. How are things over there? Yeah, are you pretty pumped? What's going on at H&R Block?
Absolutely love it. Love it, love it. And it's funny because when I first got the call about coming to Block into Kansas City, I was in Silicon Valley, and I remember joking with the recruiter. I said, I have a really common name. Are you sure you got the right Jeff Jones? I'm not a tax guy. I'm not a financial services guy. And long story short, I fell in love with what this brand could be again. And that's really how I thought about it. You know, it's incredible brand. You mentioned it earlier. Great history. But its best days had been behind us.
Hmm.
And the way I described it when I got here was, you know, we're a big company, but we're not a target size company.
Sure.
Very financially solid. Great balance sheet. A lot of clients, you know, millions of clients. But I described it as a crisis of relevance. And what that meant was our quality wasn't as good as it used to be. We weren't serving consumers digitally as much as they demand that to happen today. You know, so that's what attracted me. You know, you look at the chance to transform companies, but this isn't a turnaround.
Right.
You know, because we're not a financially distressed company.
Right.
And so we have made a tremendous amount of change, including people. You know, we've made changes to leadership. We've made changes to the ranks, new strategy. We're innovating in more digital products than ever before. And the thing that I love the most as I've gotten more involved in the community in Kansas City is people now saying to me, I hear great things about H&R Block again. And I think that's the ultimate compliment, that you're building momentum among your team and they're telling people again, there's pride at work. It's an amazing thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you want the brand to represent? So what do you want me to think of when I hear H&R Block?
That it's the place for middle America to go when they need financial confidence.
Nice.
And that's really how we think about it. You know, people know us as a tax company, but we are in the business of creating financial confidence. And millions of people, you know, we serve middle America and they turn to us for a small dollar loan. They turn to us to have that intimate hour-long conversation about everything in their life called their taxes. And, you know, once a year they rely on us to help them get everything they deserve. And that's about confidence, going back to the word, you know, we started out earlier.
Well, how has technology changed, or what have you guys done, without, you don't have to divulge everything, but what have you guys done technology-wise to kind of serve thousands and thousands of clients?
Yeah. Fortunately, it's millions and millions,
which
is awesome. I mean, I'd say there's two things. One is, if you're a DIY person, TurboTax is the market leader. And, you know, we decided we're going to compete.
Yep.
And so we have a product for DIY tax filers that is now getting as many third-party accolades as they are. It's a great value, and we're marketing it like we're a challenger company. So we're competing in DIY. But the place where we're really innovating is in what we call virtual tax. So what we know is there's a lot of people who want help. They don't want to do taxes themselves. But
Sully does.
Well, so every once in a while you meet one of these guys. But they don't want to do taxes themselves, but they also, you know, they're busy, whatever the circumstance. They don't want to go sit down with someone for an hour. So we have a product, for example, called Tax Pro Go. And Tax Pro Go is remote human help. So through your mobile phone, you take pictures of all your tax docs, you upload it to a secure portal, you get matched to an expert. That person does all the work. You don't do anything. They give you a notification back on your phone. You e-sign. You never have to go anywhere. And then we file the return on your behalf.
That's awesome.
So really bringing human expertise to other people without physically having to go someplace is where kind of mobile and human advantages is colliding.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you do just individuals or businesses also?
So the company's history had been in individual taxes,
yeah.
But we have about 2.5 million small business owners that are clients today. And moving more into small business as a company, we made a really cool acquisition of a company up in Toronto called Wave.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's, you know, they do small business bookkeeping. They have an incredible product, really, really simple to use, and it's free. And so they have this great acquisition model where most small business owners today, they're not using fancy accountants. They're managing their books with Excel spreadsheets.
Right.
QuickBooks. Or,
yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. And QuickBooks is a great product, but you got to know a little bit about what you're doing to use QuickBooks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so Wave is a competitor, and that's now part of the H&R Block family to help us serve small businesses better.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge market, right?
It's a huge market, and growing, and with gig workers and small business growth, I mean, it's lots and lots of companies are forming every year, and they need help.
Sully, have you been teaching them selling techniques? Because this seems like a great sales pitch towards you.
Oh, it's definitely worth Sully.
He's got me sold. Well, you know what I really love? His pitch, when I asked him the question, what do you want Brian Sullivan to think of?
He didn't have to think twice.
He didn't have to think. He knows his pitch. And I think too many businesses, big businesses, you'll ask the CEO that question, and they can't say it.
Yeah.
No.
And if you can't say it, it's hard to promise it.
Yeah.
And it's also hard to be confident you'd mentioned sort of pride and to make a customer confident, they have to sense you're confident. If you can't articulate what your brand is.
That's right.
And there's so many good companies, they can't do it.
It's amazing. It's weird, this word confidence literally keeps coming up. I mean, our purpose statement as a company, we say, is to provide help and inspire confidence in our clients and communities everywhere, which is more than taxes.
Yes.
It's a much bigger thought.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, geez, I'm looking at my notebook. Financial confidence. To me, that's what you're selling.
Yeah, that's right.
The vehicle happens to be, you know, the app or some of the products you're selling, but people lack that, right? So I love the fact that rolled off your tongue like poetry. I want to go back to golf, right? So you're very busy. How do you have time to hit a golf ball and become a 4 handicap and get up in the morning and go work out with Ward over here at Swing Fit? I mean, how do you find time to do all this?
I mean, it's what I choose not to do. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's prioritization. And, you know, over time, you learn, what do I love to do? Where do I want to spend my time? Where do I not want to spend my time? And as I mentioned earlier, work and family and golf is my trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
And so I make choices to be able to do those things. Now, to be clear, I don't get up in the morning and go to Swing Fit.
Oh,
so
good. Neither do I.
The boutique program happens later in the day, usually.
Yeah, we do some nights.
We do some nights.
Weekends, mornings.
Yeah. When you typically go right after the radio program, don't you? You teach Mondays after?
Oh, yeah. So,
I mean, it's for me, you got to plan. You got to know where you're spending your time. I mean, I live and die by my calendar. I hate to be late. It's another thing you learn in the military.
Mm-hmm.
My team knows everything we do starts on time.
Yep.
You know, so it just you have to be disciplined when you have a lot of priorities like we all do.
Right. So yeah. Before we go to break, a couple things that I noticed on Jeff is not only the what's the secret sauce is me sitting there and mapping out an entire year, looking and getting granular about Jeff's stats and all the things that he's doing on the golf course, so that when we spend time together, I can say, all right, Jeff, well, you had 42 putts last week. Let's work on your putting. Or, hey, your wedge game, or you missed a lot of greens inside 150. We're going to focus the lion's share of our time on that. But most people don't want to practice. Yeah, we all want the results. We all want the glory. We all want to win or be as successful as we can. But if I had a dollar for every time I get somebody, oh, Wardo, I just got to get down below a 10 and I'll be good, you know? And like, well, you know how hard that is? And some of these guys that have, you know, that have improved in my program from an 8 to down to a 4 this year, it's not going to get any easier.
Right.
And, you know, not only do they're not, a lot of times they're going to go from a four back to a seven or whatever.
Right. Right.
But staying at a four is going to be a challenge in itself.
Is it harder for you to get someone from a 15 to a nine or a nine down to a four?
Nine to a four. 100%.
Really?
And I mean, I have like a good friend, Lance Cowell. He went from a 15 to a nine. And, mm-hmm. you know, jokingly around this year, I said, look, guys, I will not work with a double-digit handicapper in the program next
what?
Year. That's you. But,
but Jeff, I just got fired. I'm not even in the program.
But to try to motivate these guys military style a little bit, but to say, guys, hey, I'm gonna give you my time, and we're going to work. But if not, just go do the traditional golf lesson deal, which is take a lesson here and there, which is fine. That's what most people do. I'm just saying, I think that a journey and mapping an entire season or schedule out and saying, all right, hey, I got a lion's share of my events are June through July. I want to peak then. What do we got to do to get there?
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so anyhow, I think with technology and some of the things that we use, we can kind of get granular on what they're doing well, what they, you know.
Well, I'm still sickened by the fact that Jeff didn't start playing golf till 2007 and he's five strokes better than me.
Well, we got work.
Jeff,
to do.
I grew up on a. I caddied growing up. I used
oh, you
to.
Did?
Oh my god! Oh.
And I, Sully, your game got I'm better this year.
I'm
Stop
struggling
crying.
To. Listen, I don't think my 8.9 index is very fancy.
Is it an 8.9?
It is. But so it makes my handicap like 10 though. It's still.
You're,
it's
you're,
not good.
You're available for the program.
But he knows. Hey, he knows when the $5 Nassau's on the line. I took him down nice.
He did.
He was very upset. He wouldn't. He wouldn't look at me the final eight holes. I mean, see, he was down seven.
Take us to break.
All right. So listen, hey, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're not going to talk about Jeff Jones. We're going to talk about my victories over Kevin Ward. So come on back. You're on the Golf Underground ESPN Radio.
This is Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
Hey, your boy Sully here from the Golf Underground ESPN Radio. I am in what they call the clubhouse experience downtown Kansas City with founder Jason Townsend. Jason, this place is off the charts. Give me a few reasons why anybody, whether you're out south, up north, or right downtown, would want to come to the clubhouse experience.
Well, first of all, the clubhouse is the epicenter of a social community. What we've done is provide an experience from the outdoor patio with live music to our Epicurean bi-coastal food menu to the cocktails to our wine list with 61 bottles from across the world, 50 bottles available by the glass, and then ultimately our entertainment suites where you can play top golf, baseball, football, soccer, hockey, or even hold a business meeting.
Well, and that's where you and I right now. And in fact, I plan on bringing a group of 20 folks for a business meeting in this venue because it is fun, it is work, but you know what? It is an experience. Where can people find you downtown?
1101 Walnut, right in the middle of downtown Kansas City in the Central Business District.
Or the website?
www.theclubhouseexperience.com.
All right, come on down. Clubhouse Experience, Golf Underground.
New golf clubs, a big screen TV to watch the U.S. Open, or maybe even a new golf cart that I've got my eye on.
No matter how you choose to spend the savings, if you're looking to put a dent in your monthly heating and cooling bills, the answer may be right over your head. If your attic isn't insulated properly, you're missing out on a prime opportunity to cut costs. Call the certified energy experts at Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160, for a free estimate to learn how they can help you save money.
Oh, heck, I'll buy the clubs, put them in my new golf cart, watch the U.S. Open on my big screen after I play a round of golf.
Better give Star Companies, Inc. a call today to start saving big. That's Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160, or visit starcompanieskc.com.
Dismal River Club is a five-star private golf and hunting club located in the sandhills of western Nebraska. 36 holes of championship golf, including a Tom Doak design and a Jack Nicklaus design, a private runway, luxury cabins, and incredible meals prepared by their executive chef make Dismal River Club one of the nation's most unique and sought-after golf and outdoor experiences. There is truly something for everyone. Visit DismalRiver.com to get more information about the new spa activities, family activities, membership opportunities, and corporate retreat packages.
You wouldn't select a driver when you're putting on a green, just like you wouldn't choose a putter to get out of a sand trap. When choosing a club, you want to make sure you have the right tool for the job. And the same goes when selecting a wealth advisor. At Mariner Wealth Advisors, we believe in putting the client first. This isn't just our motto. It's our way of doing business and our fiduciary standard. Navigating your unique journey takes a partner who is as committed to reaching your financial destination as you are. Visit MarinerWealthAdvisors.com to find a location and an advisor near you, and let us help you navigate your financial future.
Mariner Wealth Advisors, otherwise known as MWA, is an SEC-registered investment advisor
with its principal place of business in the state of Kansas.
Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. For additional information about MWA, including fees and services, please contact MWA or refer to the disclosures on our website. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money. This advertisement should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities.
Here we go.
Duran Duran.
Here we go, Jeff.
See?
See, you asked for it, you get it, Jeff.
I was going to say.
That's, keep this going.
Fantastic.
Just a little, yeah, just because it really, it makes me happy. So, Jeff, who's your favorite all-time band other than Duran Duran?
R.E.M.
R.E.M.
Oh, yes.
No doubt.
Life's Rich Pageant?
That's one of them.
What's your all-time favorite R.E.M. song?
Oh, that's too hard.
See, that's the stuff.
Superman?
Yeah. That's top of the list. I mean, I don't know. Radio Free Europe.
That's a good
really
one.
Good. I mean, that's one of those bands that just every single album. When I was in school, I took a pilgrimage to Athens, Georgia, to Weaver D's Fine Diner, which was one of the places that R.E.M. spoke a lot about, just to have the full
no
R.E.M. experience.
Way.
Yeah,
holy cow!
So that's the stuff. I'm gonna throw the third leg of the stool on. So he said, "What did he say?"
We can't talk about music anymore.
No, I'm talking about it. So when Jeff comes in now. I know to play R.E.M. when he comes into the
R.E.M.
stable.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
So you got relationships.
We've got reputation.
And R.E.M.
No
three R's. It's no longer reading, writing, and arithmetic.
It's reputation, relationships, and R.E.M.
I was going to say experiences, but oh well.
Little known secret, I also, with a good buddy, was a college DJ.
Oh.
So that was the culture of music in school was a big deal.
That's funny.
Yeah,
so did you like the B-52s too? They're
yeah,
kind of
Athens,
right?
Georgia. Yeah, of course.
I didn't like them as much as R.E.M. though.
No, not even close. No. Not even close.
All right, so tell us real quick about your Ben Crenshaw run-in practice round. What happened?
So quick story. It's probably been 9 or 10 years ago. I was a corporate guy playing in a SAS Pro-Am in Cary, North Carolina. And I got paired with Ben Crenshaw, which was amazing.
Nice. Yeah.
And on about the fifth hole, we're walking up to the tee box, and you know Ben's tee was in the back, and the AMs are walking up, and he hits. And as he's walking up, I was walking up to the tee, and I see Dave Marr from the Golf Channel walking with Crenshaw, and they're talking. So we get to the tee box, and Dave Marr says to the other guys in the group, "Hey, why don't you stand over there? We want Jeff to hit first." And so now there's a camera guy coming up, a light guy coming up, a sound guy coming up, and now it's this group with me and Crenshaw and Dave Marr on the tee. And Dave Marr says, "Just do your thing." Of course, I'm like, "Holy crap, wait, what's my thing?" So I hit a great tee ball. And then they ended up following me for 3 or 4 holes with Crenshaw commentating on my swing, and it turned out to be a segment called Learning on the Senior Tour with Dave Marr. And, you know, I got a copy of this thing on YouTube, but an incredible experience.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
What did he tell you about your swing?
I'll show it to you. He loved the tempo. That was the big thing I remember. Great tempo. Loved the takeaway of the tee ball. But it was cool just to stand there and have him talk about what I was doing well. He asked me what I was working on, so really cool.
That's cool.
All right, we got a minute and a half left. Rapid fire questions brought to you by Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good, Mr. Jim Sheridan. All right, here we go. Jeff Jones, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Favorite golf course in the world?
Peachtree, Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, take me there, please. Favorite place to go have a dinner? City.
Boston,
nice.
Little Italian food.
Oh, yeah.
Hardest thing about golf?
Getting better. Mastering it.
Favorite place or venue to actually watch a golf tournament?
You know, I've had a chance to see quite a few. I think the Memorial in Columbus, Ohio, at Jack's Place, is pretty cool.
Nice. Favorite tour player on tour right now?
DJ.
Dream foursome.
too hard.
Tom,
too hard.
He asked Tom Kite that question, and Tom Kite said 4 dead guys. So
too hard.
Well, listen.
All right.
Jeff,
In what year are you gonna finally break 70?
2020.
2020.
All right, hey, listen, Jeff, thanks for coming, man.
Yeah,
this
great
was
to,
awesome.
Great
Would
to see
you. Would you let a 10 handicap go out with you?
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, you come back and join us,
we'll
right?
We'll do. I'd love to.
All right, we had Jeff Jones, the man. Go buy H&R Block products. You will be happy. Hey, you've been listening to the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. See you next week.